This morning's reading comes from Romans chapter 12. Christ brings new life. Dear friends, God is good. So I beg you to offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible way to serve God. Don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. I realize how kind God has been to me. So I tell each of you not to think you are better than you really are. Use good sense and measure yourself by the amount of faith that God has given you. A body is made up of many parts, and each of them has its own use. That's how it is with us. There are many of us, but we each are part of the body of Christ, as well as part of one another. God has also given each of us different gifts to use. If we can prophesy, you should do that according to the amount of faith we have. If we can serve others, we should serve. If we can teach, we should teach. If we can encourage others, we should encourage them. If we can give, we should be generous. If we are leaders, we should do our best. If we are good to others, we should do it cheerfully. Be sincere and in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters, honor others more than you do yourselves. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers into your home. Ask God to bless everyone who mistreats you. Ask him to bless them and not curse them. When others are happy, be happy with them. And when they are sad, be sad. Be friendly with everyone. Don't be proud and feel that you're smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you. But try and earn the respect of others and do your best to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, don't try to get even. Let God take revenge. In the scriptures, the Lord says, I am the one to take revenge and pay them back. The scriptures also say, if your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And this will be the same as piling burning coals on their heads. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good.
Thanks, Graham. Please just have a chat with your neighbour and share something that might have stood out to you. Well, we're going to have the sermon for today, and we're blessed and honoured to have Caleb and Billy sharing with us. So let's just pray for them before they share. Lord, thank you for the message that you've given to Billy and Caleb, and I pray that we will have hearts to receive it, and I pray peace over Billy and Caleb. Give them wisdom and the words to say. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks, Tim. Kia ora koutou. It is wonderful to be sharing with you. If I haven't met you before, my name is Caleb, and with my wife, Billy, we have the pleasure of leading this church. We are speaking on Romans 12, and we'll get into that in a moment. But I wanted to first of all talk about my family of origin and how we did chores. Did you do chores in your family of upbringing? Yes. Well, we were supposed to do them in ours, but I'm a middle child. Is anyone else here a middle child? Yeah. And anyone else have that injustice feeling that I get when your younger sibling doesn't do their chore? Anyone have that? Yeah. And that played out in my family. So I unloaded the dishwashers every morning. I'd get up, and actually I got up way before everyone else so that I had time to be with Jesus and to unload the dishwasher and to make a cup of tea for everyone in the house. And my brother was supposed to load the dishwasher after dinner, but he always found that he needed the toilet just straight after dinner. And then he kind of found himself, you know, onto his computer and just spending some time doing that. And my mum found it quite difficult to negotiate with my brother. And my brother's a wonderful man, by the way. I'm putting him down now. He was a terrible teenager, but he's a great man. He's currently living in Outer Mongolia as a missionary. And God has done some great transformation in his life. I wonder whether he has a dishwasher. We'll have to teach him how to load it. But I remember my mum finding it difficult to negotiate with him and actually asking me to load the dishwasher on quite a regular basis. And I remember one moment as a teenager saying to my mum, why am I doing this? This isn't my chore, this is Jesse's chore. And she said, well, it's easier to ask you to do it than have the fight with him. And I go, oh, well, that makes sense. But there's bitterness that sits inside, you know, these younger siblings who get away with nothing. And then we had another little sister who was a little while later. She was 10 years later, my younger sister, and she didn't even get a chore.
I'm the youngest child of four. 10-year age gap between me and my older brother. And I can remember when, so my mother used to own her own hair salon over in Whanganui East called The Hair Shop. And I remember that she used to pay me 25 cents for every 10 towels that I folded. So you know when you go to the hairdresser and you get a little towel around your neck? So mum would come home every day with like piles of these white towels and she would pay me 25 cents per 10 towels that I folded. And I kind of locked onto this like pocket money, having my own money that I could spend, having my wallet, you know, little 9-year-old Billy all excited about her pocket money. And I caught on to this thing of being paid for the chore. And I can remember as like a 10, 11-year-old when we actually lived in Tonga. And I remember sitting there with a piece of paper and writing out all the different chores, like cleaning the toilet, cleaning the shower, vacuuming and cleaning the windows, and putting a value to how much I would charge mum and dad for me to do that. So I remember like the shower was $2 for cleaning the shower. Each window or mirror was like 10 cents each. And I like just remember calculating, you know, how much is this worth? And I can't actually remember if mum and dad, you know, gave me that money or if it was just this idea that I had and then they were like, no. But wouldn't it be bizarre if Caleb and I did that in our relationship? If he charged me like 50 cents every day for cleaning the girls' lunch boxes, because I hate cleaning kids' lunch boxes, like the yogurt and the like just the yuck stuff in them. If Caleb charged me 50 cents every day to clean the three lunch boxes, it'd be like, what's 50 cents times $7 or so? $2.50 a week to clean the lunch boxes. That would be obscene, wouldn't it? It would be obscene because we're family. And that's what we want to talk to about today, that we are family here at Christchurch. And so today we're going to be talking about what it means to serve each other and giving of our time. And next week we're going to be looking at the giving of our finances.
Awesome. It's important to recognize that we're family. Hey, that we don't serve for something. We serve because it's what we're called to do. And actually, at the beginning of this passage in Romans 12, Paul is laying out probably one of our clearest cohesive senses of theology right through the book of Romans. If you've ever sat and studied that, particularly lays out right from the beginnings that the difficulty and the brokenness of sin and the corruption that that's had, and the way through the journey of Jesus bringing it back in, but then how that works out in our own souls, and then we start working out how that works out in our community with each other. Because you can't be a person on your own. No man is an island. Yes? You can't live and operate on your own. You operate with effect to somebody else. Somebody else has an effect with you. And in this passage, we have some of the deep teaching about what it looks like to interact with one another, and what Paul is inviting us to be a type of community that loves one another. And we'll get in more in that in a moment. But I just want to talk briefly about the first bit. Actually, Anna called this out a moment. This is the first thing that popped out to her. Is it says at the beginning, in my version, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Okay, the way you think about this actually affects everything that happens. And so what we're talking about is that giving of your bodies, your life of worship. Okay, if we just think that interacting with God is in your mind, if you just think it's in your mind, that you make a faith decision, "I trust in Jesus for my eternal salvation in heaven when I die." If that's all faith is, then you're going to get stunted in your spiritual growth, and you're going to bump up against reality all the time. But what Paul is describing and giving us hope here for is that even though the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, that actually it's possible to worship with your body, and that is what we are made to do, to express everything, to live our lives, the whole part of your life, to offer it in worship. That's what it's saying here, is present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So when I care for somebody else, that's actually an act of worship to God. When somebody cares for me, that's an act of worship to God. Does that make sense? Yeah. So when you serve and you care for each other, it's part of worship. Worship isn't just the sung stuff. That is part of worship, because it's honoring and orientating ourselves to Him, and in fact having a space for Him to come in and move in us. But worship also includes the giving of our lives and acting with it. I do love what Richard Foster talks about living sacrifices. He says the trouble with a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. True, yes? Isn't that deeply true? Yeah? A living sacrifice keeps crawling off the altar. We have to make a choice to do this. You have to choose. I'm going to offer this. I'm going to serve in this way. I'm going to be the type of person that overflows in love for one another. Billy.
Yesterday, I drove to Waikanae for a Dyson Leaders Day, which was actually a great time. We did a sandcastle competition on Waikanae Beach to represent the different values that the diocese is going to be focusing on for the next decade. It was heaps of fun, and ice creams with the bishop, and it was great. But the really wonderful thing was that I had a two-hour car trip there and a two-hour car trip on the back by myself, just to think. It was wonderful. But I was listening to Romans 12 again and again on YouTube, just letting it sink into me. And as I was listening to it, I saw that there's this kind of overarching narrative with Romans 12, and it's kind of broken into three different bits. And the first bit is naming the platform that we are the body of Christ, that if you are a Jesus follower, you are by default part of the body of Christ. And then it transitioned to partway through verse 4, stating that within that body we all have different functions, yeah? And that's described to us beautifully in 1 Corinthians, where it says the hand cannot do what the head does, and the foot cannot do what the tongue does, da-di-da. And if the foot's hurting, the whole body hurts, yeah? So that beautiful image that we are connected and that we have different roles to play within the body, yeah? And then as you go into the third bit, which in my version of the Bible is labelled marks of the true Christian. Although we've got different functions to play, there is actually a response and a way that we are all supposed to live. And so even if, I was just thinking about, like, in terms of that we all have different functions, you would not want me to be the only person on hand if your car broke down. It's just the only thing, literally the only thing I can do in a car is wash it, fill it with petrol and replace the windscreen fluid. So when you open the bonnet, literally it just is like a daze. Hayden would not want me to be on his sound team. I'm just not, I'm a technophobe. Is a technophobe a, I'm not a technophobe or I am a technophobe? I'm a technophobe. Tabea would not want me to play flute in her band, you know? We all have things that we can and we cannot do, yeah? But no matter what I can or cannot do, I am called to love. Yeah? We are all called to love. And there's such an amazing description of what that looks like, of what Graham just read out to us. I'm just going to read a little bit of it again. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Imagine if we just like were constantly outdoing one another in love for each other. Don't lag in zeal, but be ardent in spirit. Be on fire for Jesus. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. That's just not the role of the co-vicars. That's not just the role of the worship leader. That's the role of everyone who follows Jesus. And the Māori word manaakitanga, which is often translated as hospitality. I heard another lovely translation for manaakitanga yesterday, and that means to elevate someone else's mana. So to elevate someone else's worth and placement in this world. Right? Wouldn't it be beautiful if we were just constantly thinking of the other and building each other's mana up? And there are so many ways that we can do that in our service to each other. So that part of serving one another is all play.
Awesome. Just want to spend a moment just building out upon Billy's last point there about the abundance that is described in this passage about orientating to the other. Did you notice that it almost is seamless about serving your neighbor as it is serving the person who persecutes you? Did you catch that? It's just like an offhand statement, you know. Bless, have hospitality over here. Be kind to this person. Bless the person who persecutes you. You know, be genuine with your love. It's just all part and parcel. There's this kind of orientation that we're invited into, which means that you can love everyone. Now, this isn't something, and we say this here a lot, this is not something you can just, we like to use the phrase, put on your big girly pants. You can't just put on your big girly pants and be loving, okay? It doesn't work like that. But the more you lean into Jesus, the more this is what it looks like to be a loving community. Does that make sense? The more we ask for the Spirit to fall upon us and fill us, the more we invite Him to have His way in us, then the natural fruit comes out. Yes, that's why they're called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These things are their fruit. Does a tree have to work hard for fruit? No. It invests in its growth. It invests in getting its source, its things. And then naturally, it produces fruit. Does the tree need the fruit? What's the fruit for? Others. That's what the fruit of the Spirit's about. This is what this passage is expounding. That there's so much to it. Don't, you know, rejoice in hope. Contribute to the needs. Extend hospitality. Bless those. Rejoice with those. Live in harmony with those. Weep with those who weep. Be with them. Don't repay evil for evil, but take thought for what's noble. There's so much in here. I wanted to take a moment to recognize, I've read this out here, 18 months, 2 years ago or something. But I compiled this list once where I was struck by how many times the New Testament uses the phrase one another, where it's about being orientated to one another. And I've got this 44 times where it talks about one another. Okay? And I'm just going to read them all to you. Okay? So in Romans 12, in this passage, it says, be devoted to one another and honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. And Romans 14, stop passing judgment on one another. Romans 15, accept one another and instruct one another. Ephesians 4, bear with one another. Be kind and compassionate with one another. In 1 Corinthians 1, it says agree with one another. Colossians 3, teach and admonish one another. Hebrews 10, spur one another on. James 4, do not slander one another. 1 John 1, have fellowship with one another. James 5, don't grumble against one another. 1 Peter 4,
offer hospitality to one another. John 13, wash one another's feet. 1 Peter 5, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Colossians 3, forgive one another. Ephesians 5, submit to one another. Philippians 2, have the same mind as one another. Galatians 5, serve one another. 2 Corinthians 13, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, encourage one another. Hebrews 3, encourage one another. Hebrews 10, encourage one another. Okay, and now we get to the best one. John 13, love one another. John 13 again, love one another and love one another. Romans 13, love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, love one another. 2 Thessalonians 1, love one another. Hebrews 13, love one another. 1 Peter 1, love one another. 1 Peter 3, love one another. 1 John, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. 2 John 1, love one another. Do you get the point? The more we push into Jesus, what it looks like is we love one another. And we do that in hospitality, in grace, in acceptance, rejoicing, compassion, weeping, caring, encouraging. Can you imagine if we went after this with the zeal that God invites us to? Can you imagine what it would look like if people came into our community and they saw love for one another like that? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, we want that. We want to be a family that's like that. And actually, by far and large, we are. I want to say that about this congregation. I love this congregation. I love this church. There is such joy and grace and care for one another. It's amazing. And we want to lean into that more and more and more. Yes? The more we do that, the more it's infectious to others. Yeah? We want that. So we're actually going to spend a bit of time figuring out how we can serve one another. And as Billy was talking about, we are family. Yes, Billy and I went to a church in Melbourne a couple of years ago. We went to meet church leaders who had taken their churches from kind of medium-sized churches to large churches, just to kind of learn how they did that and what they did in that process. And one of these guys, amazing church pastor, he said that in his church, they don't call when you're leading the worship your ministry. Right? And he said, don't call it your ministry because you're just doing that because you're family. Yeah? When you're at home, when you're doing the washing up, that's not, you know, my duty and I've done mine. You wash up because you're family. Does that make sense? So when the people do the morning tea, they do it because they're family. Does that make sense? Our ministry is when we go out and with God in the mission of in the world. Does that make sense? That's our ministry. Here, we serve one another because we're family. So when Miriam's singing, she's singing because she's family. She just offers that. Does that make sense? When we do children's ministry, we're family. We all pitch in. Yeah? And it's wonderful when everyone pitches in. So we're going to have a chance for everybody to sign up for something new on the roster.